That's what Paul was writing to the Philippians. Let the same mind be in you. Let's read that one again. Let's read the number of verses today. We need to know who Jesus is. So that when they are comparing, say, okay, which religion? Christianity. You think it's just another one? Another religion? No. And there's another principle I think I'll try and explain that underlies some of the things that we see as religions on the earth. I will explain that principle in a moment and see how it applies to the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, we're there. From verse 3, Paul said, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." Verse 5, that's where we're going actually. "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God," are you seeing that? "Did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped," that is, held on to, "but emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant, and was made in the likeness of men." As you can see here, let me just pause for a moment. This could not have been in Jeremiah. It's common sense. You know what the Bible called Michael? One of the chief princes. He's not unique in his rank.
That's correct.
One day, one of my friends was trying to, you know, understand. He said that, "Are there other archangels in heaven?" He said, "The only one the Bible mentions as an archangel is Michael." So now, is that what he said? He just read it. He said, "Oh, Michael, one of the chief princes." Oh, he's not the only one. One of the bishops over the angels. He's not the only bishop there. Are you getting my point? He said, "One of the chief princes." There are many of them. Because of the caliber of work that Gabriel used to do, we can suspect that he's one of them too. But Michael was named for us. But the Bible never ascribed to him equality with God. Not at any time. So people who decided that he's Michael incarnate, that is Jesus, I wonder how they arrived at that, you know, that conclusion. It's an autochthonous doctrine. You've learned one grammar today. One big English. Now, let's get back to our message. Now, talking about the Lord Jesus, all right? So, I was saying here. So, people just come up with their own doctrines. Well, it's stated clearly here that although he existed in the form of God, I'm not the one saying it. He said, "Did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of God,"
Jesus.
At the name of who?
Jesus.
"So that at the name of Jesus," I'll talk about the significance of that, "every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." That is, the aim of God in everything is for everybody to confess that Jesus is Lord. That God gets his glory from everybody confessing that Jesus is Lord. And when we're talking about the Lord here, we're not just talking about his master. No. You've seen the way the word Lord is used concerning him in the old, that is under the law and the prophets. You see the way the word Lord is used concerning. We read that in Psalm 97. It's for them to know that he's the Lord most high over the whole earth. That is the significance of this. You know, sometimes we go to, when we're young, when you go to court, in Nigerian courts, how do you address the judge?
My Lord.
So we're like, how can you say a human being my Lord. But later on, we grew up and realized that that's how they used to address honorable people, superiors, people who had power over others, okay? So here, we're not talking about Jesus is Lord like, you know, the judges in our courts are lords, like David was Lord to his subjects. No, that's not what we're talking about. To say that Jesus is Lord is what we read in Psalm 97. That thou art Lord most high over all the earth. We read it just now. That's the meaning of Jesus is Lord. Have you ever read this thing before? I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice behind me saying, come up hither, come up hither. The one that John said. I listen, no, when you hear, I was in spirit on the Lord's day, what does that tell you? I was in spirit on Sunday. In fact, some translation will tell you, I was in the spirit on the first day of the week, on Sunday. I listened to David Pawson explain it. I mean, it's known in theological circles. That was not what John said. John said, I was in the spirit on the Lordy day, not the Lord's day. There was a what they called the Lordy day. What was the Lordy day? It was a day that was declared in the Roman Empire that everybody will come and declare that Caesar is Lord. So they called it the Lordy day. It was a day that Christians were persecuted. It was a day that everybody stood up and declared who was the Lord most high over all the kingdoms of mankind. And you will say it is Nero. You will say it is the Caesar at that time. It is Augustus, whoever the Caesar is. That was what they called the Lordy day. That was what John said. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. It's not the Lord's day as your Sunday. The Sunday that time was not called the Lord's day. It was a day in the Roman calendar in which Nero or the Caesar at that time was going to be declared as Lord. And everybody just needed to take a pinch of incense and throw it to a fire and say, Caesar is Lord. And that was why they killed the Christians. And the Christians said, no. No, Caesar is not Lord. Have you not read in Psalm 97? That he said concerning the Son, that thou art Lord most high over all the realms of mankind, over the whole earth. No human being is Lord. That was why they were killing the Christians. Because they said, we will not declare that there's another Lord apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say something. The Bible says that if you're ashamed of me, you will be ashamed of you before my Father and his holy angels. We are waiting for the Lordy day, all of us. But you know, we have Lordy moments every day in our lives. We don't realize it.
Yes,
Christians have rejected Jesus as Lord by saying that he cannot even appoint the head of state. Preachers have said it to me, that he can't appoint the head of state for a country like Nigeria. That it says democracy appoints the heads of states. Go and ask Theresa May. He knows democracy is a dangerous thing. Theresa May found out yesterday that the Lord is king. He bestows the kingdoms over to whosoever he wishes. That Lord we are talking about is Jesus Christ. He said, what is the aim of the Father? The Father has one assignment. He wants everybody to understand who is Lord. The Father has one assignment. He wants everybody to know who the Lord is. And let me say something to you about this earth. Don't worry about anything. Tell your neighbor, don't worry. Say, tell your neighbor, it's coming.
It's coming.
I'm sure you're wondering what is coming. I'll tell you. It's coming the day that every single person will recognize that Jesus is Lord. Let me say something to you. The best time to recognize it is when you voluntarily get up, give your life to Christ. But whether you do it that day or don't do it that day, the day will come that you will do it. And if it is forced upon you, you still die and go to hellfire. Recognizing that Jesus indeed is Lord. Oh, that's a matter of fact. The Jesus we are talking about is not a joker. He's literally Lord. He's literally Lord. He literally will look and take one ruler, remove him from here. And one day, oh God, we're going to get there. I will describe the anger of Jesus for you. When he's angry, it's more terrible than a building collapsing on your head. When he's angry, the Bible says that the earth, people will be shouting, fall on us. That is, please let there be an earthquake. That is an experience of earthquake with rocks falling on you is more desirable than Jesus being angry at you. I've said it again and again, this Jesus is not a joker. He's not a nice person. He does the right assignment at the right time. There was a time he was supposed to be lamb. Goodness is his nature, not niceness. You know, there are people that let peace reign in the house. The wife will be making all the decisions. A foolish man. That's a stupid peace. That is peace reigning in the house. You know what they call peace? Toilet, peace. Peace reigning in the house. It's not. This is before I married. I told my wife something because I understood some of these things. I said, okay, you can do anything you like. But if I don't believe God, that's what God wants us to do, I will not follow you. I won't do it for the sake of peace. That is the peace that does not endure. There cannot be peace without order. You can't say there's forest scarcity. Let just be peace in the house. Put petrol inside, put water inside your fuel tank. Say, why do you put water? Let peace reign. I can't buy engine oil, so I just give me small. Your wife say oil is oil. There's no engine oil in this car. You want to travel. Your wife shows up with vegetable oil. High grade, expensive groundnut oil. You know, groundnut oil is quite costly compared to the other. Comes with groundnut oil. Say, my husband, oil is oil. Add this one. You now say that in the interest of peace. You are not that foolish, amen? That's because you understand the order of engine. You know, if you pour that vegetable oil there, your car will be fried before you get to my smile. People ask, are you a mobile restaurant? You are smelling something, you know? The Lord is good. Being good is different from just being a nice guy. That Jesus is not like that. He recognizes order. He knows. Look, I've said it before. Everything he does has a season. There's a season that he was a lamb. And as a lamb, you slapped him. And he would turn the other cheek to say, who slapped me? He said, Professor, are you not a prophet? Wah! He would turn the other cheek. And they would be killing him. Please, the season of killing Jesus is over. You know what the Bible says concerning him? Kiss the Son. Lest he be angry. Oh, I will talk about the anger of Jesus. When Jesus is angry, he kills people. He kills people. When his anger is provoked, I feel sorry for people. You know, one day, there was a time there was a problem in Rwanda and Burundi, and I saw how human beings suffered. You know what I asked? Which missionary did they kill? I said, this is what God does to people who murder his missionaries and they don't repent. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. His anger can be provoked. You know, I told people something once, and I've not changed my mouth about it. I feel so strongly about it. Burj Al Arab, we all know it, built for 2 billion pounds. I don't know about now, but then the world's only 7-star hotel. One night, you sleep in Burj Al Arab, $25,000. Each room in Burj Al Arab is 5 kilowatts of energy it consumes. You know what they call 5 kilowatts of energy? That's a whole duplex. Look, your flat is using 2 kilowatts. One room in Burj Al Arab is 5 kilowatts of energy. I saw the movie on the building of the hotel. And one day I saw it and I laughed. You know why I laughed? In my mind, I saw a picture. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit said to me, but maybe I created it. I saw one angel tap a golf club and hits that thing and it flings into the ocean. And it's easy. Do you know why? It's in the center of the ocean. It was built in the center of the sea. They sand filled it so that it would just be slightly above the water. Because it has the shape of a sail. That's the sail of a ship. Why did I say that? I said, these people are continuing to say God does not have a son. And they are using their money to sponsor that doctrine. It is not possible for him not to be annoyed. One day he is going to get angry. Jesus one day is going to get angry. And he's going to destroy his enemies. The Bible says the mountains will melt like wax when he's walking in. It's Jesus we are talking about. We have this impression of one man hanging on the cross. He is not on the cross. He left there long ago. If the tomb is empty, will the cross be full? His tomb is empty. I like one day David Paulson explained that Eastern, that is the Roman Orthodox Church, that what Roman Catholic Church now, that popularized the Jesus on the cross thing. That the Orthodox Church cross is routinely empty. You know, when the main church then split into two, some went one way, that's the Orthodox Church, the other one is the Roman Catholic one. He said it's the Roman Catholic that uses a lot of cross that has Jesus on it. That the Eastern Orthodox Church, no. Their own cross, as a rule, is empty. That they preach more of a resurrected Christ. And the resurrected Christ is different. Oh, it's a different Christ. It's a Christ that John, who used to sit, lie on his bosom, saw. And he said, I fell down like one dead. What does that tell you? It's not the same Jesus again. That's what Jesus the judge looks like. And when people keep on insulting him on a regular level, a regular basis, and kill the disciples, his anger will soon be kindled. And when his anger is kindled, you will wish you were where rocks were falling and crushing people than being the presence of the anger of the Lord. That's Jesus we're talking about. He's not the followers are not following another religion. There's nobody that people are following as a religious leader that we, like I was saying earlier, everybody bows to Jesus. Everybody. You bow while you are alive or you are bowing as you are dying. As per bow, he said, how does he say again? In that I think Isaiah around chapter 45. He said, Baal stoops over and a neighbor falls down. He said, I like that scripture. I like that verse. It's beautiful. It's a very beautiful verse of scripture. I think Isaiah chapter 46, thereabout. I've not read it in a while, but you find Isaiah chapter 46. So every mouth will confess that only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Verse 1. Okay, it's 45. It's 45. We'll read it into 46, all right? Oh, this is beautiful. From 45. He said from verse 20, gather yourselves and come. Draw near together, you fugitives of the nations. They have no knowledge who carry about their wooden idol and pray to a God who cannot save. Declare and set forth your case. Indeed, let them consult together. Who has announced this from of old? Who has long since declared it? Is it not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none except me. Now, from verse 22, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. This is Jesus we are talking about here. This is talking about the Lord Jesus. I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness, I will not turn back. Now, listen to this. That to me, every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. They will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. He said, men will come to him, and all who are angry at him will be put to shame. He said, in the Lord, all the offspring of Israel will be justified and with glory. Baal has bowed down. Nebo stoops over. Their images are consigned to the beasts and the cattle. The things that you carry are burdensome. A load for the weary beast. They stooped over. They have bowed down together. They could not rescue the burden, but have themselves gone into captivity. This is the plan of God concerning the name of Jesus. This is the reality we are dealing with here. That's why I said, then I used to look at Bojal Arab. If the owners keep on saying that Jesus is not the Lord of the earth, one day you use that thing to play golf. You know they could play golf? Just tell one angel, knock that thing for me. Then one day, Jonathan came and met me. He said, oh, guy, I like that building. It's Jonathan. I said, Jonathan, it's not my fault. Go and preach to them. If they are saved, the building will stand. If they will not declare that only in Jesus, because I've said that's what God is doing. What the Lord is doing, what God the Father of the Lord Jesus is doing, his aim on this earth is that everybody will recognize that Jesus is indeed the God Most High over the whole earth. You know, personally, he's not, I mean, God the Father. He's not, nobody, let me put it like this, nobody is disturbing his feathers. The competition is for the position of the Son. Go and see even Satan. People say that Satan said he would dethrone God. He could, no, there are things, there are thoughts you don't, there are thoughts that even a mad mind cannot conceive. Like they have a saying in Yoruba land. Afopino, Olayinka. What does that mean? Tolohun opa fitila. Ara re ni opa. You know what they call afopino in Yoruba? Those small, small insects that fly around a flame. So imagine one of them say, I'm going to put out this fire. You're all rushing to the flame. You're here. All the eggs. That's all. The flame continues burning like nothing happened. There are things. Look, let me tell you the truth. The Bible says, what did they say? I will be like the Most High. Like. Is that the plan of God is that everybody will worship the Son. Satan wants people to worship him too. It's with you he's fighting. He comes to your life to fight. He doesn't go to go and to fight God. God, I'm going to kick you away from here. It's not doable. The whole of existence is in God. He comes to your life to say, who will you worship? I will be in your life like the Most High. You will make your decisions because of me, not because of the fear of God. I will promise you food and raiment. You know, I promise you things. Then you will make your decision. That's how I will be like the Most High. That's how he's setting up his throne in the hearts of men. But the plan of God, I was saying, is that the whole earth will recognize who indeed Jesus is. We're reading that from that Philippians chapter 2. That's God's plan. He said in verse 10, no, verse 11, from verse 9, for this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those things in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God's glory is that everybody recognizes that Jesus Christ indeed is Lord. Everything that arises against the knowledge of Jesus as Lord will always, 100% of the times, be judged. Listen, they will always be judged. There was a time communism rose. You remember communism? It rose and rose and rose and became a big mighty thing on the earth. And they stood suddenly against the knowledge of God and of Jesus as Lord. Tried for a very long time. And then one day, you know, of course, they changed St. Petersburg to, was it Stalingrad or it was Leningrad? Then at the end of the day, what happened? With their own hands, they rewrote it back to what? St. Petersburg. That every tongue we confess. Like I said, what we need, what we are telling men is, confess Jesus while he's not yet angry. But confessing that he's Lord, you will do it. Listen, the imams of the biggest mosques, they will do it. You don't understand. There is no other way you will do it. It's when that is the question. You either do it in the time of peace, or you do it when he's angry and you have perished out of the way. There is no other option. This Jesus will be declared as Lord on this earth. Everything that stands against that mission of God the Father is judged. What I've said, put it in mind. And watch world events over the next decade. 10 years. Maximum maybe 15. I don't think you can push it to 20. The Prime Minister of Luxembourg went for an international conference with his husband. And I said, it's a sign that Jesus is already angry. David paused and said, when you see things like that, it doesn't annoy God. It's a sign that he's already angry. When they said Brexit, I finally understood why there's Brexit. I said, God looked at Great Britain. So I remember the devotion of your youth. I will give you another chance. While I judge the rest of the peoples, you come out first. The Brexit is that God can do the rest of Europe like he did Northern Israel and be watching UK. And that's what God did to Judah. He was watching them for a long time. He said, look at what I have done to Israel. The sister is not learning anything from it. It took a number of hundreds of years. Finally, God took Judah too. I just looked at that and said, look, that's what God is doing with this thing. He said, okay, Brexit, you come out from amongst them, be separate while I pour forth my judgment. And I'll give you a number of years. You don't learn your lesson, I come after you too. Only in the Lord, every tongue, every mouth will confess it. So all these noise they are making, Mecca, you know, everybody, Islam, is no Islam. There is not possible, except John chapter 1 verse 1 is not true. That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Except that chapter of John is not true. That says all things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. Except it is not true. The decree has gone forth from God's mouth. He said, for this cause God has highly exalted him, and this is the glory of the Father, that every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Let me just, you know, we read this to bring out a particular issue. That the Bible says, before this point, he existed in the form of God, but he came down to the earth, emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant. The person we saw walking on this earth was the God that emptied himself so that he could relate with you and with me. The number of things he did with that, one of them is to explain that the creation of mankind was not actually a mistake. It's something that could work if they do what they are supposed to do. Because people are going to say that flesh does not work. The concept of having flesh can never attain the righteousness of God. He said, let me wear the same flesh and attain God's righteousness by it. Because of time, maybe I'll stop it here. But later I'll talk about what he called equality with God in different dimensions. There are two sides to it. There's existing as a son, that is in equality with God, then emptying himself and coming down to the earth and building himself up again through obedience to God until a point in which, from experience, not because of his previous existence, God looks and says, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. That was another talk. That was another talk. That was something else entirely. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, was talking about what happened in his life up till that particular point, in which he became the author and finisher of faith. He did not disobey God in any regard. At that point, God put him on a particular level. But this time around, as a man. I don't know whether you're getting the point. Yeah, as a man. As a man. He had attained the highest level possible. Let me give an example. You're doing an exam. Let us assume you mark over 100. You give to your students. You are the professor, the researcher, the teacher. You are everything. Then you give your students an exam to take. What is the maximum mark anybody can get? You're marking over 100, and 100 is the maximum, right? Now, let's leave the students out. You come and take the exam. What mark will you get? No matter how well you do, what will you get? 100. Everybody that gets 99, he's walking short of the glory of God. Are you getting my point? If you get 99, you're good, but you're short of the glory. The more you walk in sin, the shorter your marks. All have sinned, and their marks have come short of the glory of 100. Are you getting my point here? That's what it is. If God the Father came down to the earth, if Jesus in all his glory came to the earth, do you understand? The best he will get in obedience to God on this earth is 100. But Jesus emptied himself, came and walked as a person that was trained. The Bible says he learned obedience from what? Suffering. He had to learn obedience. He didn't have obedience by nature. He learned obedience. He obeyed God in everything. And then he got his score, 100, as a man. Thereby making human beings able to attain in this dispensation what is also called equality with God. It doesn't mean they have become God. I hope you're getting what I'm saying here. It's just that, just like the student, you can set the MCQ and the student gets 100. He has not become the teacher, but he has done as well as any teacher will do if they are given that exam to write. So that student has attained, would have by that attained what we can call equality with the lecturer. That was what Jesus did when he came down, emptied himself. He did not operate on this earth with any power that is not available to you and me in obeying God. No, he did not. The reason why he did not sin was not because he could not sin. Because if it was like that, there is not a fair judgment. The Bible says he was tempted in all things, yet without sin. If it was impossible technically to sin, that's not a temptation. So why is this called highly for it? It is because he could have sinned if he did some things wrong and refused to do some things. But for the first time, a human being walking on the earth scored a 100 marks over 100 in the matter of righteousness. Just for information, that was what qualified him to die for your sin and mine, which we have talked about. Without that, he could not have died. Why? The high priest will have had to offer an offering for his own sin first. Are you getting my point? And then as a rule, the sacrifice had to be without what? Blemish. So that's the point. I want to, you see, like, if you see, what am I doing on all of these things? I'm just describing the Lord Jesus to you. I'm not telling you 7 keys for effective breakthrough. No. When you wake up in the morning and you say, you are a Christian, you know that you are serving somebody. And this is the person we are talking about. You are serving the judge of the whole earth. The Lord Jesus said, the Father judges no man. What has he done? The whole judgment he gave to the Son. That's who you are dealing with here. I'm just describing him. I'm describing what he was. He existed with the Father. Why was it that in the beginning it was said, and I don't even know who said it. That's the interesting part. But we just know he said, let us make man in our image. You don't say us if you are alone. He said he was talking to the angels. No. He said, after what? Our likeness. We're not made in the likeness of angels. So somebody was talking to somebody at least. He said to Isaiah, who shall I send? Who will do what? Go for us. That name, God, has always had in it more than one person. It was clear from scripture. He said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Are you getting my point here? That's why we read Psalm 97. You can read Psalm 96, you can read 98, the same thing. Talking about somebody who came in the likeness of flesh, but who left the Father behind and looked up to the Father and prayed. The thing that made it possible for him to walk beyond sin, that's what I want to talk about briefly, we've talked about many times, is available to every individual. And he came to demonstrate that it's available. He came to demonstrate that it's available, that it's possible to walk with God on this earth, that you score 100 also. And he came to make it easy. What he said is that, look, I have gone in a particular way, like we talked about it last time, that he keeps. He keeps, he's able to keep. Let me tell you something. One of the things that God did in sending Jesus down, that the Father did, is to let us have somebody we can relate with. I said I'm going to tell you a particular principle. Let me quickly share it. I'm watching my time, and then I close. In most religions on this earth, they understood that spiritual principle, that God is very high and it's difficult to reach. When I was a student, those days in secondary school, I remember when we're learning in Yoruba, that is, you know, you study Yoruba as a subject. And in Yoruba, they teach you what they call the culture and the gods. Essentially, what they're saying, that the culture and the religion. You understand? That's one of the things you learn, all right? I remember our teacher telling us that it's not as if the men, those the African men, didn't believe in God, but they just believed that God was too high. So The God Most High, they call him Olodumare. I'm giving Yoruba culture. And but he's so high, they can't reach him. So they need intermediaries. Most of the other gods that they worshipped were people at a time, were persons. Shango was a ruler. His wife was Oya. Those are real people that ruled their kingdoms. Ogun was a person, one hot-tempered king that they had, Ogun. Eshu was one local troublemaker. Troublesome person. All the gods that they worshipped existed at the time as human beings. What we call Greek mythology, the truth is that thing is not as myth. It's not as much myth as we think. There's a lot of reality to what they're talking about. A lot of those people lived at the time. But the records, is been distorted. And some of the things that you read about them, reading the Bible, said those are the mighty men of old. The Bible talks about them. When they tell you that there was a man, Atlas, that they were a god, Atlas, they had a giant on the earth that was that strong. And they canonized him afterwards. And some of our churches will still canonize people till today. When you die, it's the same thing. Men have been doing it for a very long time. And what is your job as a saint or a god? Take our petitions. You are closer to God. You are closer. That's why we still have this thing in our churches. We are closer. You feel you are closer to God. So you pray through a saint. It's nothing new. It's a spiritual principle. What makes it wrong for us now is that Jesus came, you understand my point, as a person, and he passed on to heaven. So the thing we are trying to achieve through all those gods, we are supposed to achieve through him. So he says in simple terms, guys, get it now. No one comes to the Father except by me. So all those things, all those other things we do in trying to have people reach God for us, God did the same thing. He brought his own person, and that is Jesus Christ. And Jesus now said, from now on, no one approaches the Father except through me. You can't pray to God through any other person apart from Jesus. I've just used that one to explain that the principle was there all the while. You know what they call? Can I drop another big English? What they call anachronism. When you see something is anachronistic, when something is out of place in relation to the times and seasons. For example, if I showed up here today now, are you getting my point? And I went animal skin, you understand? I tie one high-quality gold skin around my waist. Do you follow my point? And I'm wearing beads. So you'll be looking at me like, which century did you come from? Are you getting my point? And like they say, which generation do you think we are living in? Like a man going to the post office, say, I want to write my son. He say, ah, daddy, where's your son? You want to write him. Say he's in London. Have you ever heard of email? Your son does not have WhatsApp number. You know that kind of thing. So the man said, I want to write. In fact, okay, one of my friends said one day, went to a cyber cafe. And he saw a man show up with his pack of floppy disks. No, ready to be feeding his information. He said, he just looked at him and said, ah, papa. And you are feeling like you are tech. By that time, men were using CDs, flash drives had come out. The man came with his pack of floppies. That's what they call anachronism. You are out of sync with the times and the seasons. Are you getting my point?
Yeah.
Anybody praying to anybody else apart from the name of Jesus is out of sync with the time and the season. That is the Jesus that we are talking about. Let me just summarize what I've said so far so that we can go home. The Lord is good. Now, what I've just said, what we have been doing in simple times, we're just trying to describe the Lord Jesus. Remember, he said, this is what? Eternal life. That you will know God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Next time you mention the name Jesus, you know what you're talking about. When you talk about him, he's not a wise man that Mary gave birth to. And in his wisdom, he was able to start a worldwide religion. Many of us unconsciously think about this. He was not a good man. He was not a good man. He was not a righteous prophet. That's not what he was. In summary, he was the mighty God that existed with the Father. And then he came down, removed his glory, and came down as a person listen to this so as to bring you and I up to where he is. There's something I wanted to bring out, but let me just, I don't have time, but let me just drop it briefly. Why is it that he existed in the form of God and God is highly exalting him again? You know, sometimes we don't realize what is going on. We read that from that Philippians chapter 2. He existed in the form of God. Then therefore God has highly exalted him and given him in that everything. And you understand my point? It's a bragging thing about, look at God exalting him for the thing that he did. But if you look at it, where did he start from? Where did he end? Did he end up higher than he was at the beginning? So if it was for his own personal gain, what did he do that's sensible? Nothing. I cannot invest ₦1 million. I mean, assuming now I had ₦10 million and I invested 9.5. All I had was 500,000 naira left. And I have like ₦500,000 left. At the end of the day, my investment did well. You now did my total balance at the end. I'm back to 10 million. You are going to wonder, say, okay, you are not a good businessman. And I'm bragging about it. Said, because I invested, you know, said, therefore God highly exalted him. Because he released his 9.5 million. And now he has given him a name that's above every name. Now he has 10 million naira back. Is that wise investment? No. That means that we are not interpreting that thing well. Something's wrong. But let me give you the explanation. Let us assume I invested my 9.5 million. At the end of the day, I got 10 million naira back. All my co-workers got 10 million naira. My sons got 10 million naira. My friends got 10 million naira. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Why? Because I opened a path of investment for everybody. What did they put? Each person put 1 naira, 2 naira, 3 naira, 5 naira. Even though I'm back essentially to where I was, why do I glory in it? Because I've taken many people that were poor up to the level that I was in. I hope you get my point here. That's what God did for you and did for me. Rise to your feet. Let's give him thanks. Rise to your feet. That's why, that's the exciting thing. That's why when he was leaving, he gave you the name. So he started using this name to terrorize everything. Yeah. Terrorize everything. In my name now, cast out demons. In my name, do this. Just go there, mention the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, thank you for the name of Jesus. Jesus, I thank you for what you have done for me. Give thanks. Give thanks in a loud voice. Give thanks. Say, thank you for what you have done for me. Yes, God exalted you, but not for your own sake, but for me. He had to go down that low to bring us up. I mean, people were drowning. He went into the water. That's the fact that he released his own glory. And then he came back up. This time I didn't come back alone. God highly exalted him. Yes, he did. But he did not exalt him alone. He said, I and the children that the Lord has given me were for signs and for wonders. That's it. That's why he will say clearly, we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, far above principalities and powers. That's it. That's it. That's why demons will look and say, Jesus I know, Paul I know. That's the reason. That's the reason. That's the reason. That is the reason. That is the reason. That's why they will say, Jesus I know, Paul I know. He said, ye are gods and all of you are sons of the Most High. That's what he came to do. No, God wasn't trying to hold things back to himself. He said, I want all of you to come up. Everybody come up. Everybody come up. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Say, Jesus, we are happy we know you.
Oh, yes.
Yes, we are happy.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We know you. Even the more. Thank you.
Father, thank you. That goodness will go with you as you depart from here in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God's mercy will go with you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This week you are stepping into, beginning from tomorrow, goodness and mercy will wrap themselves around you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
They will follow you everywhere you go.
Amen.
They will keep you from all evil.
Amen.
Defend you from all troubles.
Amen.
Revive your soul.
Amen.
Keep your going out and your coming in.
Amen.
Doors that were closed before, they will open to
Hallelujah.
You. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now I want you to have a boldness as a child of God.
Oh,
if indeed
yes.
You have given your life to Christ.
Yes.
I want you to know that your own door will open to you.
Amen.
Just put your hand on the handle, twist it. Push the door.
Oh, yes.
If it doesn't open, push it again. If it doesn't open, push it again.
Oh, yes.
If you push and it does not open, it's not your door.
Mm.
Don't be angry.
Oh, yes.
Don't be angry. One day my wife was negotiating something, and I prophesied here. I said, the one that's not your own will close this week.
Oh, yeah.
That one will close. He said, I remember that my husband said, it will close. I said, this one is not my own. Because you are blessed. That's what I'm saying so. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. Nothing happens to you by chance. Your blessing has been commanded. But there are doors that you open this week. Everybody will say it's impossible.
Wow.
Hold that door, twist it, and push it.
Hallelujah.
And it will open for you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Doors that look bigger than you, they will open for you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Doors that stronger men could not open.
Wow.
Those doors will open for you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There are doors you don't have to touch. You will speak to the door.
Oh, yeah.
And as you are approaching, it will fling open.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There are doors that men will open and say, please, sir, pass through this one. And it will be your door.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There are places you did not even know there were doors. You thought they were all walls. You get there, something will cause you to pause and lean against the wall trying to rest. Then a door will swing open for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. God will take you from one level of glory
Amen.
To another level
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I feel like lifting this name up again. Lord Jesus, you make wars to cease.
Oh, yes.
Every voice of war, of disagreement, of discontent, of tribal sentiments, anger, political, economic, that's rising up in this country, we silence it Amen. By the power of the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, you are the Lord most high over the whole earth.
Oh, yes.
And we pronounce that lordship over Nigeria in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
This is the aspect of your name we lift up today.
Oh, yes.
You are the one that makes wars cease.
Hallelujah.
Wars cease in Nigeria.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I'm sorry to say this one. Any man who is intent on reactivating a war, he will cease.
Amen.
He said, kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you perish out of the way.
Yes.
But as for us, peace is our portion.
Amen.
Peace is our portion.
Amen.
Peace is your portion.
Amen.
Please don't be afraid. Invest your money in any part of the country.
Oh, yes.
It will prosper.
Amen.
It will germinate.
Amen.
Troublemakers will be wiped off.
Hallelujah.
Peace will be your own portion.
Amen.
Go, it is well with you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil. Because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time. This is my season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus. Quickly bless somebody on your left or your right. This is your. Bless another person. This is your season of multiplication. Please bless one more person. Bless yourself again. This is my season of multiplication and dominion in the name. All right, cheer up, brethren.
The Lord works.
It's well with you. God bless you.